CEO Business Mind, the radio show for entrepreneurs, small business owners, and professionals. Whether you own or run a business or would like to start one, this is the place for all the answers. Now, here's your host, Joe Morabito.
And this is Joe Morabito with CEO Business Mind. Welcome to my show today. If you want to get to me, it's really easy. Just Google CEOBusinessMind.com. Look for the box that says subscribe. Type in your email information. Follow the confirmation instructions. And if you do that, you can take a look at my blog postings that are informational going back several years. And if you're interested in my political rantings, and they are rantings, you can go to nationalfreedomforum.com. Again, look for the box that says subscribe, type in your email information, follow the confirmation instructions, and if you do that, you'll see my political blog postings every day. If you want to know more about Paragon Home Resources, one of our growing businesses, just go to paragonhomeresources.com, look for the line that says blog, click on it. And again, type in your email information, follow the confirmation instructions, and if you do that, you'll be able to check out my home-related blog postings every day that are interesting, informational. And if you've missed any of my shows, just go to talkzone.com, and you'll see all the podcasts hung there for every week since we started the show, actually. And you can catch up on any weeks that you might have missed. So we always start the show with seeing the train coming. There's always a train. And the latest train is raising the debt ceiling. And for those of you that don't understand how that works, Congress has to actually approve the limits on the debt ceiling. Usually it's annual. Sometimes they do it for 2 years. And so I think at last count, the debt ceiling was at about $27 trillion. Might have been a little less than that. I don't know. But they're going to blow through that, you know, certainly this year and next. And so in order to do that, Congress has to approve raising the debt ceiling. Now, it's going to be controversial because the Republicans are not so keen on raising the debt ceiling because, you know, the socialists want to push through this $3.5 trillion, call it grab all, everything you ever wanted as a socialist budget. And spending plan. They want to push through, I think, a $6 trillion budget, which is going to be $2 trillion debt. And we're talking trillions here, folks, not billions. We don't talk billions anymore. Now we talk trillions. And so the problem is that effectively in, I think, September or October, if they don't raise the debt ceiling, theoretically, think of it like a checkbook, okay? If they don't raise the debt ceiling, the government's going to run out of money, which really means they can't borrow any more money because they're already running out of money given the fact that they spend way more than they take in. So if they don't raise the debt ceiling, then the Secretary of the Treasury, Janet Yellen, I think her name is going to have to figure out a way somehow to fund the government, presumably without borrowing. And there are some tricks that they can play that are good for a month or two. But ultimately, if they don't raise the debt ceiling, theoretically, it's never happened, but you would see the default of the United States on our national debt. And that would create all kinds of problems. And, you know, the credit markets would probably, you know, go under and life would end as we know it. And all of a sudden, our creditors that we owe trillions of dollars to wouldn't be able to get the interest on the debt. And then that would lower our bond rating and life would end as we know it. So at some point, most likely, the Republicans will fold because they really don't have much option. You know, everybody is spending money, you know, like a drunken sailor. It includes Republicans, too, because let's face it, when Trump was president, to deal with COVID, they authorized several trillion-dollar, you know, plans, basically, to deal with COVID, which did obviously keep the economy going because, you know, we basically had the shutdown of the entire economy. So I think it's important to recognize you're going to be hearing a lot in the next month or two about raising the debt ceiling. And I think it's going to get ugly, but eventually it'll get resolved. It always gets resolved because there really isn't any choice. They have to raise the debt ceiling, even though, frankly, they're spending money like crazy that we don't have. And the deficit spending is unbelievable. You know, folks, we're approaching a $30 trillion national debt, $30 trillion. Now, keep in mind, if they took all the wealth from everybody, every single person in the United States, not just the rich, not just the near rich, not just the upper middle class, but if they took everything from everybody, all assets in the United States, they couldn't pay off this national debt. They estimate that the assets in the United States are about $12 trillion, meaning everything that everybody owns, every investment that they have, every dollar they have in savings, it all adds up to about $12 trillion. Well, our national debt is approaching $30 trillion with no end in sight. And the socialists, you know, they just keep wanting to add entitlements. You know, they want free everything, free college, free medical, free everything. And the problem is, you know, how do you pay for it? You can't raise taxes high enough to pay for everything they want to give away. It's impossible. If you took everything from everybody, you couldn't pay for it. So the only way they pay for it, there's two ways. You either borrow money, and that's what they've been doing, or the Fed prints money. Well, you see the inflation that we have going through right now? The price of food, the price of gas, the price of homes, the price of everything is going through the roof. And that's because the dollar at the moment is only worth 68 cents. And if they keep doing what they're doing, you know, for every dollar you have, you're probably only going to have 50 cents of buying power. So when you go to the store and you see a pound of meat at $20 a pound or whatever it's going to end up being, and chicken at $10 a pound and pork at $12 a pound, I don't know where it's going. Gasoline for sure will be at $5 a gallon before you know it. We're getting up there. We're up over a dollar a gallon since Trump was elected and took office. Because, you know, he's destroying the energy industry with all this Green New Deal stuff. You know, I always chuckle when socialists point to California as the example. Folks, let me tell you what's happening in California, okay? There are blackouts in California. The price of electricity in California is higher than any place else in the country. Right now, they're telling people in California, don't plug in your electric cars because they don't have enough electricity, you know, to supply them, which is a real problem because the ones that are strictly electric, obviously, they can't use gasoline. They have to plug in order for them to work. So, you know, when you look at some of this stuff and they point to California as the gleaming example of success, well, I don't know how they get there when there isn't enough electricity in California. Oh, by the way, they're also running out of water in California because they haven't built a dam since 1985. And so when California does get monsoon rains, which happen occasionally, that water is just going into the sea. There's no place to store it. So, you know, I think as we look at all of this and we see where all of this is going, the national debt is going through the roof. They have to raise the debt ceiling. They're not going to have any choice. You're going to see, you know, some funny politics going back and forth between the Republicans and the socialists. But everybody knows eventually the Republicans will have to vote to raise the debt ceiling. There'll be at least 10 of them that do, because they need 10 to get to 60 votes to break a filibuster. And there'll be 10 rhinos that absolutely will vote to raise the debt ceiling. The other ones, you know, maybe there'll be 30 of them or 35 of them that won't, just so that they can say that they really are fiscal conservatives. But even they know that at this point, there's no choice. They have to raise the debt ceiling because you cannot have the United States default on its debt. You can't, because the credit markets would collapse. Our bond ratings would you know, go crazy. You'd have just incredible problems if, in fact, the U.S. ever defaulted on its debt. Now, I do think because of COVID, we should, as President Trump recommended, tell the Chinese they owe us $10 trillion for what they've done to our economy because they produced this COVID at their Wuhan lab and it somehow escaped and everybody knows it now. It wasn't accidental, that it wasn't, you know, from bat to humans or whatever. This is something they produced in the lab. Everybody knows it. And so Trump is right. They owe us $10 trillion and we should go to the world court and sue them and get that money from them. And, you know, if nothing else, they should forgive whatever debt we have that they've got holding over us for sure, because they've cost us a hell of a lot of money. So anyway, you're going to hear a lot of hoopla in the next couple of months about raising the debt ceiling. And they're going to play games, and everybody's going to hoot and ha, and it's going to be funny. And, you know, the media fake news is going to kind of play with it, like, oh, my God, the Republicans are going to do this to the country. Folks, nobody's going to do this to the country. They have to raise the debt ceiling. As much as it's not good, there really isn't any choice. They have to raise the debt ceiling. The only question is by how much. I suspect they'll take it up to about $32 trillion so that ultimately there's plenty there, because we're going to have that debt coming at us like crazy. We'll be back with more after this quick break.
Are you caring for an older person or a loved one who needs assistance? Paragon Home Resources can help you maintain their independent living for as long as possible anywhere in the United States. We offer property management services to deal with all facets of maintaining the current home. We can also assist with obtaining a reverse mortgage to free up home equity to pay for home care and other needs. And should your loved one require assisted living or a move in with a family member, we can handle the details of selling the home for the best possible price. Paragon Home Resources can assist with helping you sort belongings to determine which will be kept and those that require an estate sale or donation to charity. Your Paragon Home Resources coordinator will be accessible through a convenient toll-free number. As part of our service, you'll get a needs assessment to determine the services that are necessary. Caring for a loved one doesn't have to be stressful. Call Paragon Home Resources to learn more. 1-800-959-7270 or visit us at paragonhomeresources.com.
Now, back to CEO Business Mind, the radio show for entrepreneurs, small business owners, and professionals with Joe Morabito.
And this is Joe Morabito with CEO Business Mind for the second segment of my show. I want to talk about the $1.2 trillion bipartisan infrastructure plan that ultimately the Senate is going to vote for. I suspect it'll get about 67 votes, maybe a few more. And even though President Trump doesn't think it's a very good idea, because he knows that the Republicans are ultimately going to get rolled, they are going to get rolled, it probably is a good plan. Now, if it was just a standalone deal and it was all they were going to do, I would say, well, okay, it is going to be deficit spending over a 10-year period. We're going to have to borrow the money to fund it. But it is true. We have bridges that are collapsing. We have roads that need to be fixed. We have airports that obviously need renovation. You know, we have water systems that have to be renovated and updated. The broadband, you know, for rural areas, I think is important, although that's going to be very costly. So there are things that need to be done in our country, you know, the trains and the harbors and the ports and all that stuff. We do need to update, because many of them, you know, are 50 years old or older, and very little work has been done to them other than little minor repairs. So I would say that the $1.2 trillion bipartisan infrastructure plan is probably a good deal for the American people. Even though we're going to have to borrow money to fund it, it will create jobs. If we're lucky, it might pay for itself. And so that's probably a good thing. The reason Trump opposes it is because he knows right behind it, the socialists are going to push through a $3.5 trillion boondoggle plan that's got all kinds of goodies in it that the socialists have wanted for years. Look, the socialists know they're going to lose the Congress in 22. They know it's over for them, because at the end of the day, Republicans are going to take back the House, and there's a pretty good chance they're going to take back the Senate. So in this $3.5 trillion entitlement goodie plan that they're putting together, and not one Republican, by the way, will vote for it. It will pass through a process called reconciliation. And, you know, they're allowed to do this once a year without having the filibuster kick in. And so the Democrats, of course, the socialists will all vote for it. Not one Republican will vote for it. Well, Nancy Pelosi, Speaker Pelosi in the House of Representatives, has said she will not bring up the $1.2 trillion bipartisan infrastructure plan if at the same time the Senate doesn't hand her the $3.5 trillion boondoggle plan. And so, of course, President Biden said these were that the infrastructure deal was a standalone deal. But Nancy Pelosi, who really runs the roost in Washington, not the president, not Biden, certainly, has said that's not her understanding and that she will not push through the infrastructure plan for $1.2 trillion if it doesn't come with the $3.5 trillion entitlement boondoggle plan. And so most likely Chuck Schumer is going to push this all through. Now, here's the monkey wrench. There's the little monkey wrench that just came to be the other day. Turns out that Lindsey Graham, Republican, just came down with COVID. And contrary to the way things work in the House, where somebody can actually vote for you, in the Senate, in order to vote, you got to show up. Well, so happens that Lindsey Graham was at a little houseboat party with, I don't know, five or six other senators thrown by Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia a day or so before he announced that he had COVID. So the real question is going to be, there were Republicans and Democrats at that little houseboat party. The real question is going to be how many others are going to come down with COVID, because at least in terms of the Senate rules, if you can't show up, you can't vote. And these votes need to take place in the next week or so before the Senate recesses for August, because, you know, they go home for a month, presumably to campaign and do whatever the hell they do in the month of August. So the real question is going to be, are the votes going to be there to pass this infrastructure deal for $1.2 trillion? And then are the 50 votes going to be there on the socialist side to pass the $3.5 trillion boondoggle? Again, folks, we're talking about trillions here, not billions. And for those of you that don't know how much money that is, $1 trillion is $1,000 billion. So $3.5 trillion is $3,500 billion that they're talking about spending. And everything but the kitchen sink, and even the kitchen sink, is in that $3.5 trillion socialist boondoggle plan. And so there's lots of freebies in there, which, you know, people love freebies. Everybody loves free money. They love it when government gives them money, but nobody wants to pay for it. And nobody wants their taxes higher to pay for it. Folks, it's important to recognize that about 50% of the people in our country pay no income taxes at all. So the other 50%, when I hear Joe Biden, and it's even worse than that, really the top 10% pay probably 70 or 80% of the income taxes in our country. And so when I hear Joe Biden or any other socialist say the rich aren't paying their fair share, well, folks, if not for the rich, nobody would be paying any share. So, you know, it's clear that 50% of the people in our country pay no income taxes. And those 50%, by the way, are the ones who generally get the entitlements. So we already have the most progressive income tax system in the world and the most, shall we say, extreme redistribution of income in the world from those who pay taxes, the 50% who all call the makers in society, to those who pay no income taxes, and I'll call those people the takers in society, because the makers, in essence, provide for the takers. Now, to some degree, to the extent that we have very poor people or we have disabled or blind who need help, I would say absolutely we need to help them. But we have people right now here, folks, they're not working because they're getting the extra $300 a week in unemployment insurance from the federal government combined with their state unemployment. And in some cases, they're getting more money staying home than if, in fact, they were to go back to work. And that's the reason we have 9 or 10 million job openings in the country, because ultimately we're paying people to sit home rather than go take a job. And that's going to last until September, unless somehow the socialists extend it again. I don't think the votes will be there to do it, because frankly, you know, employers need help. They need to hire people. If you've gone to a restaurant lately, you might notice that they don't have enough help. If you've gone to any service business, you might notice that they don't have enough help. And so at the end of the day, you know, that extra $300 a week is keeping people from going back to work in many states, in many instances. Now, most of the red states, about 21 of them, did away with the $300 additional money. And those states, of course, have much lower unemployment than do the blue states that are still paying people to stay home. So clearly, you know, we got to look at all of this, but you're going to see in the next few weeks, the Congress, the Senate anyways, will pass the $1.2 trillion bipartisan infrastructure plan. Then Chuck Schumer is going to attempt to push through by budget reconciliation without one single Republican vote, the $3.5 trillion boondoggle plan. And then once those two plans are passed, I suspect sometime in September, Princess Pelosi will take them up in the House, and the odds are pretty good that she'll have the votes to pass both of them, presumably, because even though AOC and her squad and probably Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren would like to see even more boondoggle money, you know, getting it across the finish line would be tough. And so at the end of the day, they will all grit their teeth and all the socialists will vote for it. And none of the Republicans will vote for the $3.5 trillion plan. They will vote for the infrastructure plan, enough of them anyway, to get it over the finish line. And so that, I think, at least is positive. That's good for the country. The boondoggle, $3.5 trillion, we're going to have inflation you won't even believe. And by the way, folks, just so you know, the price of pork is going through the roof because California has passed new legislation requiring that pigs be raised in 24 square feet instead of 20 square feet. And believe it or not, that's going to add dramatically to the cost of raising pigs. So if you like bacon, from what I just read, you're going to pay 50% more for it. Because at the end of the day, if all the pig farmers have to revise their floor plans, so to speak, now keep in mind, 24 square feet is an extra 4 square feet. That means an extra 2 feet by 2 feet for a pig. Now, I can't imagine the pigs are going to be able to tell the difference between 20 square feet and 24 square feet. All I know is it's going to raise the price of pork. And if you like bacon, if you're a bacon lover, and who isn't unless you're kosher, if you're a bacon lover, you're going to pay 50% more for bacon. And it could very well be that California won't even have any bacon. You might have to go across the line to Arizona or to Nevada to buy your bacon because you might not be able to get it in California. We'll take a quick time out and be back for more CEO Business Mind.
Are you planning to move? Paragon Home Resources can help you sell or buy a home anywhere in the United States. We provide a home resources coordinator to manage all aspects of your move. We recommend qualified real estate agents and other services to prepare your home for sale. Best of all, if you sell or buy a home with our assistance, you could be eligible to receive a tax-free real estate commission cash reward. We can also help you obtain a mortgage at competitive interest rates. Our lenders offer fixed and adjustable rates, conforming and non-conforming loans, plus FHA and VA financing. We can also assist first-time buyers with as little as 5% down. And when it comes time to move, we can refer you to qualified movers or other companies to assist with self-moves. Paragon Home Resources helps make moving as easy as possible. Call Paragon Home Resources to learn more. 1-800-959-7270. Or visit us at ParagonHomeResources.com.
Whether you're thinking of starting a business or just moving up the corporate ladder, this is the place for practical advice. CEO Business Mind with Joe Morabito.
And this is Joe Morabito for the second half of our show, CEO Business Mind. Again, if you want to get to me, just Google CEOBusinessMind.com. Look for the box that says subscribe. Type in your email information. Follow the confirmation instructions. And if you do that, you can take a look at my blog postings going back several years. If you're interested in my political ramblings or rantings, as the case may be, really easy. Just go to NationalFreedomForum.com. Again, look for the box that says subscribe. Type in your email information. Follow the confirmation instructions. And if you do that, you'll get my political blog postings every day. If you want to know more about one of our growing businesses, Paragon Home Resources, just Google ParagonHomeResources.com. Look for the line that says blog, click on it. Look for the box that says subscribe. Again, type in your email information, follow the confirmation instructions. And if you do that, you'll get my home-related blog postings every day. If you've missed any of my shows, really easy, just go to talkzone.com. And you'll see all of my podcasts hung there going back weeks. You can catch up on any shows that you may have missed. So today, for the third segment of our show, we're going to talk about sexual harassment in the workplace and the fact that this is really serious stuff, folks. Just today, Governor Cuomo of New York has been accused of serious sexual harassment by 11 women. And apparently there's a 165-page report produced by the Attorney General of the state of New York. And apparently, and this is a good one, folks, because I'm Italian, right? He's claiming the Italian defense, that Italians are touchy-feely people, and that when he grabs your face and puts a kiss on your forehead or your cheek, that's just what Italians do. Well, I'm going to tell you, folks, that may be true for some Italians, but I've learned that in the workplace, there is no touching. You know, here's the funny part about all this. When I went to work for Merrill Lynch many years ago, in my three-piece wool suit, you know, with the white shirts and the ties, when people had to dress up to go to work, there was no touching. There was no anything. In fact, you know, you at the best you got was a handshake. That was it. And then we went through a period in the workplace, and I was even uncomfortable with it. There was probably like a 10-year period in the workplace where everybody was hugging everybody. You hugged your clients. They hugged you. You know, didn't matter whether it was a man or a woman. There was, you know, it was like not just did you do a handshake, but you had to hug people. You had to say goodbye by hugging them. You had to say hello by hugging them. And then, of course, and to be honest, when that all started, I was uncomfortable with that because I had come out of the Merrill Lynch environment and we just didn't do anything like that. And then all of a sudden, there was this 10-year period where, there was this hugging going on. Well, then, of course, we got into all the sexual harassment stuff. And we got to a point, I know in our company every year, every employee has to go through sexual harassment training. It is very serious stuff. And the sad part about it, and I know I've learned this even from personal experience, you can't say anything to anybody. You can't compliment anybody. You can't say, and I learned this the hard way. I had a former employee years ago, and we were going on a sales call, and she was wearing a beautiful St. John knit navy blue suit. And I knew about St. John knits because my wife was into them. And I asked her, I said, gee, that's a beautiful suit. Is it a St. John knit? And she said, matter of fact, it is. And that was the end of the conversation. Not one more word, not anything like, oh, gee, you look great in it. Nothing. It was just, that's a beautiful suit. Well, do you know that she actually complained to human resources? And she said that I was implying that how could she possibly afford a St. John knit? Now, she was a director in the company, but she read into this comment or this statement something that was never my intention. But what I learned from that little episode is that you can't say anything to anybody because you don't know how they're going to construe it. So if somebody gets a new haircut, you can't say, gee, that's a great, I love the way they cut your new do. I love your new do, your new hairdo. Nope, can't say that. You literally can't say anything to anybody, male or female, because you don't know how they're going to construe it. And there's no doubt, no touching. There's absolutely no touching in the workplace or out of the workplace for that matter, if it's an employee. So, you know, we've come so far in all of this. And part of it is unfortunate because the notion that you can't compliment, for example, if somebody loses a lot of weight and they say, oh, gee, I lost 40 pounds or something. You can't even say you look great. You can't say that because they may misconstrue it that somehow you're flirting with them or something. It's kind of sad, really, that you can't even have normal, pleasant human interaction because it can be construed as sexual harassment. You don't know how the other person's going to construe it. It goes without saying, no touching. Nobody's questioning the fact that you can't touch anybody. And, you know, and of course, now with COVID, we're doing elbow shakes or bump shakes. No, we're not even doing handshakes anymore. And who knows, the handshake may disappear. That's the next thing to go. Now that I'm thinking about it, mostly because it's a super spreader shaking people's hands. You know, so we may move, you know, it's funny. The Japanese, they bow their head. They don't do handshakes. In fact, that's a Western tradition. In Japan, when you greet somebody, you either bow your head or you bow from the waist down to show respect. They don't shake hands unless maybe they're dealing with Westerners, but that's not how it works in Japan. So we may be going to something similar in this country, because when I say no touching, I mean no touching. And so, you know, we're going to see what happens with Governor Cuomo, because he is in deep crap trouble. I'm thinking they're going to force him to resign. If he doesn't resign, he's fighting it, by the way. He's using, I couldn't believe it today when I heard him, he's using the Italian defense. He said, we Italians, and I'm Italian, he said, we Italians, we're just touchy-feely people. In Italy, that's true. In Italy, that's very, very true. People walk arm in arm, not uncommon. If you see somebody, and they do this in France too, you kiss them on both cheeks. These are normal things in Italy. But unfortunately, Cuomo's, even though he's Italian, he's not working in Italy. He's working in New York. And this isn't going to fly in New York. So most likely, he will be pressured to resign. And if he doesn't resign, then ultimately, he probably will be impeached by the state legislature. Even high-profile Democrats, including the president today, called on him, Biden, called on him to resign. Trump hasn't commented yet, so we'll see what Trump has to say. But in any case, and what Obama, let's see where Obama lands on this one. Obama will probably call him and tell him he has to resign. So, you know, because, you know, the hypocrisy in the Socialist Party, everybody knows. If he was a Republican, Cuomo would have been gone a long time ago. Fake news, he'd have been gone. Now, the real question is, what's going to happen to his brother? Is CNN going to keep his brother employed at CNN? Because his brother Chris Cuomo, who's on CNN, covered for Governor Cuomo and, you know, played all of this down, didn't bring it to the news. Well, it's not unusual. Fake news doesn't publicize anything negative for other socialists. I get that. But in this particular case, it was a brother-to-brother deal, and it's going to be really interesting to see if Chris Cuomo survives this latest scandal, because in some ways, peripherally, he was involved. He was also accused of sexual harassment by some woman, I think at CNN, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll see where that goes. But in the meantime, I'm telling you out there, if you own a business, sexual harassment is serious stuff. If a company doesn't act, if someone comes to you and you're in senior management and they tell you that they have suffered sexual harassment and you don't take it, you, the company, doesn't take it seriously, the company as well can be sued for incredible damages. And so companies have to take sexual harassment seriously. And keep in mind here, folks, this isn't just related to women. It can be related to men, too, because, you know, you have the gay issue to some degree, and anybody can be harassed. Anybody can claim sexual harassment. If a woman is making advances toward a man and the man doesn't want those advances, that man can claim sexual harassment. This is not solely about women. This crosses genders in a variety of ways. And so, you know, the only advice I would give to any business owner is tell your employees no touching, no compliments, say nothing about the way anybody looks, don't comment on any dress or any suit they're wearing, don't comment on anything. Just stick to the business, do your job, do not speak in terms of people's appearances one way or the other, good or bad, I might add. And, you know, just stay away from these topics because it's trouble. And I can tell you, even though we've experienced very few sexual harassment or any kind of lawsuits in 31 years in business, when they happen, it can be very expensive. You know, you end up paying high deductibles if you have insurance, and then your insurance goes up if you do have a case come through. And this could happen, by the way, at any company. This, if you own a pizza store, you can have an employee claim sexual harassment for one of your employees making pizzas. It can happen anywhere, any place. This is not just about highfalutin business here. This is serious stuff, and it's governed by federal and state laws. We'll take a quick time out and be back for more CEO Business Mind.
Are you caring for an older person or a loved one who needs assistance? Paragon Home Resources can help you maintain their independent living for as long as possible anywhere in the United States. We offer property management services to deal with all facets of maintaining the current home. We can also assist with obtaining a reverse mortgage to free up home equity to pay for home care and other needs. And should your loved one require assisted living or a move-in with a family member, we can handle the details of selling the home for the best possible price. Paragon Home Resources can assist with helping you sort belongings to determine which will be kept and those that require an estate sale or donation to charity. Your Paragon Home Resources coordinator will be accessible through a convenient toll-free number. As part of our service, you'll get a needs assessment to determine the services that are necessary. Caring for a loved one doesn't have to be stressful. Call Paragon Home Resources to learn more. 1-800-959-7270 or visit us at ParagonHomeResources.com.
Harnessing the entrepreneurial spirit of America. This is CEO Business Mind with Joe Morabito.
And this is Joe Morabito for the fourth and final segment of our show today. And I have to talk about the crisis, the COVID, and the chaos at the border. It's getting worse, folks. It's getting worse. We have a crisis at the border. We have the most consequential invasion of our border in decades. We have thousands and thousands of people coming into our country every day. The Border Patrol is overwhelmed. Many of these people are coming in with COVID. They're handing them over to Catholic charities and other non-governmental charitable organizations. And those charities are giving them bus tickets, and they're being sent all over the United States. Many of them have COVID at a time that we've got an outbreak of COVID. The Delta virus, variant of COVID is now spreading all over the country. And basically, we have chaos at the border. We've lost control of our border. And what's funny is, and it's not really funny, it's tragic, the Biden administration refuses to accept that there's a crisis at the border. I mean, are their heads in the sand? Do they not see what's happening? It's on TV every night. We see thousands and thousands of people coming across the border. The caravans are back. The drug smugglers, the human traffickers that are making millions of dollars, extorting these poor people for money to get them across our border. The Border Patrol is completely overwhelmed. They have to just let them in. They're not getting court dates or anything like that for asylum. They're just letting them into the country. Mayors and governors have no idea where they're ending up because nobody is giving them any notice of where these people are going. I'm assuming Catholic charities or whoever's handing them bus tickets that the federal government is paying for all of this. And I'm guessing, I don't know, that maybe Catholic Charities is putting them somewhere in the country where they have another Catholic charity that maybe they can pick them up and land, help them once they get there. Because what do they do once they land in another city and get off that bus? Somebody's got to be there waiting for them. And I can only assume that Catholic Charities and other groups that are doing all of this are distributing them to other Catholic charitable organizations in different cities around the country. They must be. What else could they be doing? But the fact of the matter, other than breaking our laws and all of that, is that many of these people are sick. They have COVID. Catholic Charities in one of the towns in Texas took over two motels and is housing these people in motels, presumably, who have COVID. Maybe they're treating them. I don't know. Nobody knows. The woman or whoever it was that was running the Catholic charitable organization in the particular town, when asked by the press, refused to comment on what's going on here, folks. But it isn't just illegal aliens coming into our country. The fentanyl made in China, I might add, that's passing through Mexico and is killing people in the United States. The human trafficking. Many of these young girls, maybe even boys, they're being trafficked for sex. Workers in the United States. We have a tragedy at our border, folks. And it's very clear to me that Biden, if he's in his right mind, and there's some question as to whether he is or not, given his dementia, needs to go back to the Trump policies. We need to insist that Mexico station their army on their border to stop the invasion long before it ever gets to our border. We need to insist that those seeking asylum stay in Mexico until they get a hearing date in the United States. We have got to re- begin building the border wall. We got to finish that border wall that Trump started. And, you know, there are some now calling for a border czar. You know, supposedly Kamala Harris was assigned to solve the problem. Kamala Harris is nowhere to be found, folks. She doesn't even go to the border. She went to El Paso. That's not the problem. The problem is in the Rio Grande Valley, in McAllen, Texas, and other places where these thousands of people are coming across. Well, she didn't dare show up there because if she did, she'd have to go visit the kids that are in cages. They have kids in cages. You remember how they complained that Trump had kids in cages that, oh, by the way, Obama built? Those were built during the Obama administration. Well, now Biden has four times the number in those same cages. These kids are literally sleeping inches apart because there is no room for them. There's 4,000 in a facility that was designed to maybe house 800. And so these poor kids, especially these unaccompanied minors that the coyotes are bringing across for thousands of dollars each that their parents are paying, these kids are going to end up being slaves to work off this money because how are they going to pay it? They're going to be slaves for somebody. And ultimately, the tragedy we see at our border is the worst that it's been. And that idiot that runs Homeland Security, what's his name, Alejandro something or other, he is a blithering idiot, for God's sakes. He is a blithering liar and idiot. He claims everything is wonderful, that they've got everything under control. Really? Really? Watch the news, Alejandro. See what's happening every night at the border. There's thousands and thousands of people coming through at the border. Look, folks, we need to bring home the troops from Afghanistan, and those troops, plus many others, need to be stationed at our border, and they need to stop the invasion of our country. We are being invaded, folks. This is like an invasion by a foreign power. Well, if that were happening in any other place in the world, the troops would be at the border stopping the invasion. It's time to send the army to the border to stop the invasion of our country. The implications of these people coming are huge. The cost to the American taxpayer, absolutely devastating. And so we have got to recognize that we have an invasion at our border. It's a crisis. We have COVID coming across that's spreading all over the country. We have chaos on the border. And you've got the Biden administration. I don't know what the hell they're doing. Well, you know, Biden, it's between his naps. Maybe somebody tells him what's going on. But the people who are actually running the government, it isn't Biden, whoever that works for him that are running the government, has some heads need to roll. These people need to be fired. They're doing a lousy job. We have chaos at the border. And so aside from the COVID that's coming in, the drugs that are coming across the border, the human trafficking, these poor kids are going to end up as sex workers somewhere in the slums of our country. We have to stop it, folks. He's got to go back to the Trump policies that were working. Trump had the most secure border that we've had in decades. We got to start building that wall again. We got to keep these people in Mexico awaiting hearings. We got to stop them right at the point of entry at the southern border of Mexico with Guatemala, Honduras, and what's the other country down there? El Salvador, that's right. We got to stop them right at the point of entry. Clearly, we don't have a policy as it relates to what's going on. And we certainly are not going to get immigration reform if we don't secure the border. That just isn't going to happen anytime soon. Nobody's going to sign on to that. Republicans certainly will not sign on to any kind of comprehensive immigration reform if, in fact, they don't secure the border. So this is a serious, serious problem. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. Biden caused this. He opened the floodgates. He put out the red carpet. You know, he's letting these poor children into our country. And that's just encouraging the coyotes to bring more. They're making millions of dollars every day trafficking in these poor people. And clearly, you know, this is something that somebody has got to deal with. And it's obviously not going to be Joe Biden because Biden is clueless. And at the end of the day, somebody has got to step up. Somebody has got to deal with this. There are Republicans and Democrats now calling for the appointment of a border czar. I don't know who the heck it would be. It's certainly not Kamala Harris. She's clueless. And so we've got to get this thing going because clearly We just cannot sustain what's happening at our border. It is such a mess. And at the end of the day, it's not getting better. It's getting worse. And I felt so sorry for these poor people because, honest to God, they're walking hundreds, if not thousands of miles to get to our country. And at the end of the day, you know, who knows where they're going? Who knows what they're doing? Certainly the governors and the mayors need to know who's coming into their states and their cities. You know, they're probably adding to the homeless problem that we have in many large cities. You know, there's homeless, by the way, right now in tents, a few blocks from the White House. There's homeless now all over Washington, D.C., in tents. Well, we know they're in places like Los Angeles and Seattle and Chicago and New York and any of the blue big cities. There's homeless everywhere now, in tents living everywhere, and we're bringing these people into our country to add to it. Where the heck are these people going? Who's helping them? What support are they getting? Ultimately, who's taking care of them? We don't know. I know Catholic Charities is very involved in all of this, and in many ways, the Catholic charitable organizations are complicit with the human traffickers. They're part of the problem. They're not part of the solution. And I know they're just trying to do the humanitarian thing for people, but they're actually contributing to a nightmare for these poor people because they're bringing them into the country and they're spreading them all over the country with COVID. And they're worried about spreading COVID. They want us all to wear masks again, folks. They want us that have been vaccinated to go back to masks all over the country. It's happening in Nevada where I live. Masks are now required in all indoor venues. For everybody, for kids, for people that have been vaccinated, for everybody, we have to go back to masks at the same time that they're allowing these illegal aliens into our country with COVID to spread it all over the country. This is like having Typhoid Mary going from city to city to city to city, spreading disease. It's insane. It's insane. I really believe that Biden should be impeached. I think he'll be forced to resign for his dementia anyway. But he has violated his oath of office. You know, when you raise your right hand as president, it's to protect and to serve and defend the United States of America. We have an invasion at our border. He's not defending our country. I mean, this is no different than if the Chinese were invading or if the Russians were invading. He's not defending our country. He needs to be impeached. Impeach him, as Maxine Waters said of Donald Trump. We have to impeach him. Well, I don't think it's going to go that far. I think he'll end up resigning because the poor guy has dementia, and it's just a matter of time before the Democrats are going to push him out and put Kamala Harris in, although she's not ready for prime time, that's for sure. She proves that every time she opens her mouth.
Are you planning to move? Paragon Home Resources can help you sell or buy a home anywhere in the United States. We provide a home resources coordinator to manage all aspects of your move. We recommend qualified real estate agents and other services to prepare your home for sale. Best of all, if you sell or buy a home with our assistance, you could be eligible to receive a tax-free real estate commission cash reward. We can also help you obtain a mortgage at competitive interest rates. Our lenders offer fixed and adjustable rates, conforming and non-conforming loans, plus FHA and VA financing. We can also assist first-time buyers with as little as 5% down. And when it comes time to move, we can refer you to qualified movers or other companies to assist with self-moves. Paragon Home Resources helps make moving as easy as possible. Call Paragon Home Resources to learn more. 1-800-959-7270 or visit us at ParagonHomeResources.com.